Works good. Bear with me today, because this message was placed together, pieces of what I've done before, in the last hour. So it's something the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. We've been preaching on revival, you know, the preparation for it, what revival has looked at like in the past. Is there things that we can do to help promote that revival, etc.? And he said, no, today you're going to equip the body for works of service. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you're here today, it's because you're really not sitting in the level of fear that the rest of the world is because of this coronavirus and all of the implications of it, from financial all the way down the line. If you're here today, it's because you're not curled up at home. And so this message really is not applying to you, probably. Although you probably will glean from it, because there's other areas in your life that you may be fearful of, and you can apply this to your life. But what it's for, I think, and why the Holy Spirit wanted me to put this together for you this morning, is that you carry the Lord Jesus Christ with you wherever you go, and you are a light, and we are to be ambassadors. And we can run through the whole Bible and know who we are in Christ, right? And we should know who we are. So I'm asking that as you take this in today, as you just understand God's word, and there's a lot of scripture in there behind it, that you'll bring that to your neighbors or to those who are hiding, that are in fear, that are not understanding everything that's going on. And again, just be that light with this message. So this message is really going to be your message, I pray, that you can take to those who are in your sphere of influence. So let's just pray and ask, number one, for me to get it and deliver it to you first, and then for you to be able to regurgitate it and get it out into a world that's in desperate need of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his peace right now. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you change things when you want to change things, and you do things the way you want to do things. I just pray, Lord, that we conform, and I conform right now, to what it is that you want to say. So, Lord, we give you the liberty. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak through me. Less of me, more of you. And I pray that, Father, as we have ears to hear this morning, we'll do more with it than just leave feeling a peace ourselves, but that we'll give that peace away in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled it Defeating Fear and Obtaining Peace. Defeating Fear and Obtaining Peace. I said earlier today that we need to be prudent and not check our brains at the door. Okay, being a Christian doesn't mean that we don't adhere to a lot of the things that our government and the world presents before us, because some things are prudent, you know. We're to wash our hands, you know. You're not to allow stand around people who are coughing and hacking all over you, right? We're to use sanitizers and try to keep ourselves away from those areas that, you know, we know that could be infected with certain things. I'm not saying that, you know, oh, we're Christians and we're just going to walk right in front of that thing and we're going to pick up that snake and, okay. We're not snake handlers. When Paul did what he did, he was busy with the gospel of Jesus Christ preaching to these people, and inadvertently a snake bit him, and he shook it off because he was more concerned about the message that he was bringing to the people. So the enemy that tried to bring the snake to kill, as we just heard, Paul was immune to that because he wasn't purposely trying to pick up the snake that says, look, this is how much God protects me. You know, just like Jesus was approached by the devil, remember? And the devil said, hey, if you're God's son, jump off the roof. Well, Jesus didn't purposely jump off to test God. He said, I'm not going to test my Father. I know who I am. And I don't need to prove to you what God says, right? Neither did Paul when he was affected by that snake. And that's what I'm saying with the coronavirus. We're not going out there looking for it. Don't go and say, well, because I'm a Christian, I'm going to go stand in front of this person coughing and look at me, I'm not affected by it. Because you probably will get affected by it. Because that's not how God works. So don't check your brains at the door. Do take precautions. We're not saying that. But don't live in fear. Do not allow it to stifle your witness. Do not allow it to keep you from relationships. Do not allow it, because as you proceed in the things of God, he will then protect you. In those cases, he's going to do that. So we do need to use wisdom and understanding and prudence and all those things along with the message I'm about to bring. Take precautions But don't take on fear. Okay? Fear represents Satan, if you didn't know that. Fear represents Satan and his kingdom and the destruction of your future. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, expecting, right? So is fear. It tries to project into your future anticipation of fear. Just like faith tries to get you prepared to be anticipation of the fulfillment of God's word. That's what faith is, anticipating that God will fulfill his word in your life. You haven't seen it yet, but I trust it's coming in the future. Well, you can do the same thing with fear. And it will bind you, and it will arrest you, and it will oppress you. And if you're that way, get to some Christians who've got the victory to what? Release you from that. Because God uses the church today, that's his vehicle in which to do so. God can do it directly from heaven and do a supernatural work, yes. But hey, how about us, the church? Shouldn't we have that kind of authority? After all, Jesus gave it to us and said, go do likewise, really. I'm paraphrasing. Fear is Satan's kingdom. Faith is God's. Christianity 101, okay? Fear focuses on what we see in the world and accuses God of being untrustworthy. Do you hear that? Fear focuses on what we see in the world, the news, everything that's going on around us, and it accuses God of being untrustworthy, especially if he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I will watch over you. I will deliver you. Some things we do get, you know, we all get sick at times. Even Paul left, who was it? Epaphras or somebody, one of those guys, sick in Miletus. Not everybody was healed. Jesus even walked through some towns. There were other people that could have been healed that weren't. But he does promise to walk with us and get us through it and obviously be with us and never leave us or forsake us in that. Some things we have to walk through in life. But this is a message that tells us that God does, again, he can be trusted. He's not untrustworthy. Fear questions God's control of the future. Fear will question God being in control of the future. Fear means being afraid, scared, worried, anxious, and concerned about a bad thing that's going to happen. Did you hear what I said? A bad thing that's going to happen. You've already decided that it's going to happen. Fear separates us from God, and it says in the Bible, it torments us. The devil, the enemy, Satan, Lucifer, whatever, you know, he goes by different names in the Bible. His apparatus has not changed through the centuries. He wants to torment us as Christians and separate us from our faith. That's what fear does. It separates us from faith. And if he can separate you from your faith, well, 1 John 4:18 states, there is no fear in love. And we know God's love, right? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. If we were made perfect in love, we wouldn't have to worry about any fear. We would trust God implicitly. Can God protect you from a virus? Can God protect you from a disease? Can God protect you from evil that's about to happen to you? And I'm not going back to the story every time, but when I went into that 7-Eleven that one time, Teresa saw a gunman at the door, and she immediately went to her knees to pray because my boys and I were there. And when she prayed, that gunman stopped in his tracks. And she knew because she could see the outline of the rifle. The car was running out at the pumps. She knew what his intent was. And as she prayed, he looked around as if there was an army sitting around him, put his hand off the door, got in the car, and left. And we were standing at the counter. Those things happen. They're not just stories. When we read of Elijah and Elisha and all those things happened. They're not just stories. They put their pants on like we put our pants on. They were not supernatural men. They were men like and women and children like you and I. There's a time where we come where we have to put our faith into action because faith without works is dead. Somebody said it. This is a time to act. We've got to take out an opportunity here where the world's in fear and produce faith. And exhibit confidence and trust in God and introduce them to the God who is our great physician. Fear can program your thinking when you dwell on its lies. Fear is felt as an emotion. It's experienced in anticipation of some specific pain or danger or negative event. So if you're triggered by the news, or if you're triggered by this outbreak, or if you're triggered by all these things, it will experience it in you as an emotion that will release toxins in your body to make you sick. It will decrease your immune response to anything. So if it was in the air and you had the immunity that God gives us to keep it from our own bodies, I'm telling you right now, when you take on the fear of that, your immune system gets compromised, and it probably will. If you think you're going to get the cold, you probably will. Because your body does not respond by itself. It responds to how you think. If you think it, it will happen in your body. That's what releases those things. That's why when you think you're going to be hit by that truck, adrenaline is released, and all of a sudden your heart rate goes to pounding, and you get out of the way. God designed you that way. Sometimes it's good to have that kind of fear. It's why he put that system in you, to run away from real danger. But if you're doing that regularly and constantly, and you're constantly releasing these toxins in your body, it's going to break down, your immune system is going to be down, and you'll be susceptible to anything that the enemy wants to bring. We are physical beings. We are. Fear is designed to steal your faith, but we're physical beings, and we're standing against an invisible enemy. Do you understand that? We're physical beings standing against an invisible enemy in the second heavens that has the right, for now, until God comes back and throws them into the lake of fire. But Satan and those third of those angels, right, are in the second heavens realm, which is an invisible realm. And yes, there's invisible, you know, if you're breathing air right now, can you see it? No, it's invisible. Well, Satan is in that invisible realm, and he roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, because he watches your actions, he sees how you respond, and if he sees that he can take an opportunity because you give it to him, he'll take it. But if you do not give him the opportunity, he can't take it, because he's restricted by Almighty God, who says he is the one who possesses us, not Satan. He can oppress us, but he cannot possess us. We are possessed by the Holy Spirit. We have to believe in our invisible helper, God, the Holy Spirit, more than we believe in our invisible enemy, Satan. What we speak about the future, either faith or fear, will be waiting for you. God is standing to execute our faith. God is ready to, he's got angels in heaven ready to execute our faith, and the devil is standing by to execute any fear. Fear will shipwreck your faith. We must stand firm with our trust in God. 2 Timothy 1:7, you all know it, for God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but what? Spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline, or a sound mind. We can be programmed, folks, into having a spirit of fear. You may not have it, but you can be programmed into it. We can develop a personality of fear when we come into agreement with its lies. All you got to do is agree with it. Spirits of fear can be acquired through circumstances in our life when we act fearfully in those circumstances. They can come from, listen now, spirits of fear can come from watching television shows that depict murder, terror, or brutality, for those of you who think you can watch those things and it doesn't affect you. Fear can also come from reading books, magazines, newspapers, the media, the television that focuses on fear-mongering, news or current events, thank you, was my next line. News or current events are also a source of fear. Hello. Radio and music, it's all part of the scenario that you can be programmed into fear. What program are you watching? What are you reading? What are you putting in front of your eyes and ears, little ones? Right? This is for us. Fear stifles our capacity to think clearly and rationally, and it'll affect our behavior. You can bet on it. When we are afraid to make decisions, it will cause us anxiety. Fear causes panic, panic attacks. We can suffer from anxiety attacks and phobias. We can live in inner turmoil all the time if that's what we choose to focus on. Fears can stop us from achieving our goals in life, period. It'll stop people from going to church. I just can't get out of the house. I'm going to turn on the TV. Oh, God, what's the TV going to bring? I mean, I'm not knocking televangelists, but, you know, there's some that are all, they're great, but there's some, oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know where their theology comes from. But God wants us to huddle together. He says, don't forsake the assembling together. That doesn't mean with your TV. Peace and joy are seldom experienced in the face of fear. It will damage your relationships, fear will. Fear also, like I already said, long-term fear weakens and destroys. It's a known fact. Long-term fear will weaken and destroy your immune system. Hence why people often get what they fear. We stand with our faith in God. And that's where we have to stand. And we can boldly come to His throne of grace and find peace for our souls. That's what the Bible says. So we need to have faith. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then therefore approach the throne of grace with what? Confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us when? In our time of need." We need protection right now. We need protection from this little virus that whatever emanated from wherever. And it just didn't come about recently. It's been here since 1982 or whatever. I mean, there's articles coming out where it's always been around. It's just been now used, and it's being used in the hands of the media and politicians and everything else to spread this wild fear. Not that it still doesn't have an effect on people. I'm not saying that. But I think it's being blown so much out of proportion that it's driving people to insanity almost. If you've ever visited a supermarket lately, it's cleared of we went to Lowe's and they had all the freezers were gone. Freeze these big expensed items because people are hoarding and they plan on, I guess, on spending eternity in their home. And they don't realize that very tomorrow could be the very day God calls them home. And their freezer will go bad. But that's the point to we're at. I'm just being honest with you. I'm preaching practical to you today because that's what we're seeing every day. I don't know what the toilet paper has to do with anything, but you can't find toilet paper anywhere. How is that somehow related to a coronavirus? I mean, unless, like I said, people are planning on never seeing anybody ever again, you'll probably die because your house will have dust mites and all the other things that will happen because you're in there for so long. I don't know. I don't want to make a joke out of it because it's a very serious situation. But I'm telling you, it's serious when I say that there is no toilet paper on those shelves. All of the masks and all of the things that you can, they're all taken. People are acting like it's the bubonic plague or whatever, and it's going to wipe it out. But they said the world was going to end in 2000. They said that the past viruses would wipe out the world. I mean, it's already been said any virus that comes along or any disease that comes along, it's going to wipe the world out. And so far, we're still here. Faith represents God, folks. Faith trusts God. Faith trusts God with our future, and it expects it to be fulfilled. In God's world, we believe before we see it.
Right.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We live by faith and not by sight." Matthew 6:25-34 says, I'm reading it all because it's applicable. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body of what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body important more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than a bird? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? How the lilies of the field, look at them, they grow. They don't labor, they don't spin, they don't toil, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these little lilies. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and it's gone tomorrow and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So execute faith in God. Trust in His perfect love. Fear is defeated by a relationship with God based on love.
That's right.
A couple more scriptures here, and then we're going to go into the peace, the answer to this fear problem. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything. That would include, I guess, corona, right? But in everything by prayer and supplication, right? That's what we've been doing today, prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, how about that? Thanking Him in advance. Present your request to God. And then what happens when we do this? He says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind, which is very important to do, in Christ Jesus. John also says in 14:27, peace I leave with you. This is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Wow. Good scripture to hold on to. Everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ can go through any problem and face even death and still have the peace of God in their heart. I'm going to say that again. Everybody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ can go through any problem and even face death and still have the peace of God in his heart. As a pastor, and I've watched death a lot. Well, not a lot. Thank God. But when I've watched death and those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, oftentimes at the very end of their life, and Teresa can testify to this, some of the ladies that she's been in front of, there's this smile and there's this sense of peace, and as I can see Jesus, and they know right before they go that he's coming to usher them in to the beautiful park of God in heaven. You can have that. You don't have to die frantically and stressed and worried about every day, and if I'm going to die today or die tomorrow, you're going to die sometime. Let me let you know in advance. Everybody's going to die. You will face that moment at some point in your life, and you can have a perfect peace at that time if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When your spouse dies, your children get sick, you lose your job, you can have peace. There is a peace in that that the world will never understand, but those in relationship with Jesus Christ know exactly what I'm talking about. Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, as we said before, with thanksgiving. Make your request to God, and he says his peace will overwhelm you. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule. Yes. Whoa, I'm going to say that again. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Yes. Rule. So my question to you today, or to those that you may present this with, is the peace of God in your heart? Yes. God said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What does that mean? His right hand is symbolic of his authority. I will uphold thee with the authority of my righteousness. That means that God does everything right. He doesn't do anything wrong. He wants what's good for you. He wants to protect you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to heal you. That's his desire. He upholds you with the authority of that righteousness, because that's all he is. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no lying in heaven. There is no rejection in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to begin declaring, and not just declaring, but we have to be walking out the righteousness of Christ here on this earth. He imparted it to us. He cloaked us with it. He gave it to us when we didn't deserve it. Now we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. It means we haven't arrived yet. We're still walking in the dirt. Therefore, you're going to struggle in some areas. Praise God for the cross and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That we don't have to have it all right now. We're going to get it all in the future. But for right now, we got to walk in as much of it as we can, because it really brings the benefit to us. That was Isaiah 4:10, by the way. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the call, whatever the duty, whatever the price, whatever the sacrifice, it says his strength will be your strength in your hour of need. This is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Yes. His advice to us. There are certain special privileges that only the true Christian can enjoy. There is, for example, the privilege of having divine wisdom and divine guidance continually. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. James 1:5. Also, the Christian has a sense of true optimism. Optimism. Not pessimism, but optimism. The assurance that according to the divine revelation, what does that mean? His divine promises, what he reveals to us through the power of the written word, the Logos, and his Rhema, the Holy Spirit, who speaks to our hearts directly. True optimism, the assurance of this divine revelation, everything will turn out well in the end. The end of what? In the end. See, you are an eternal being. God's kingdom will have no end. Your life, believe it or not, is never going to, you're never going to die. Spiritually, physically, you'll die once, and then you'll live forever and ever in the beautiful park of God. And you're not going to live as an invisible spirit. He says there are new bodies that are awaiting for us. ones that won't get corrupted, ones that can live in an environment like what Jesus came back, right? He came back in a body, but he was able to walk through a wall, and he was able to transport to heaven in seconds. But when they looked at him, it was Jesus. That's going to be you. And the new Jerusalem will settle and come upon a newly revamped earth, and where we live with the Lord forever. And the lion will lay down with the lamb. And what is it going to be like? It's going to be like the Garden of Eden all over again, without sin having never entered in. It'll be just like it was from scratch, walking in the garden with God. Wow. If that's not just hope, you know, it's like somebody was saying there before when I said, well, you're going to still live. And they're like, oh, drats. We make the most of our days. But I will tell you, this is not home. This is not home. For the Christian, we are a vapor that is passing through. We are fleeting. We are here as ambassadors from heaven to represent God the best way we can, to do the best job we can, and build up our most holy faith so we can spread this gospel as far as we can. Because when we take our last breath, we're going back to the one who gave us the life in the first place. We have privileges. Optimism. The Christian also, I will tell you this as we close this thing, the Christian also has a worldview. Well, what do you mean? This worldview sets forth God's purpose and the end toward which we're all proceeding. We know from a world point of view that things are going, shh. You can read your newspapers and watch and see what's going on in the world to know. And we can read the Bible to know that this world is on a decline. It will be a one day burned and refashioned. But in the midst of that threat, in the midst of all the evil that will run rampant in the end times, we are to be a light and we will be divinely protected. And we can have joy in the midst of sorrow, and we can bring forth peace in the midst of chaos. And right now, someone said, I think my son said it, now's the time to exercise it. Here's your opportunity, guys, when you walk out these double doors, is to exhibit the light of God and the peace of God amidst world chaos. And then when you ain't got toilet paper, there is world chaos. Just saying. This one. Yes, he will. All your needs in Christ Jesus. This worldview sets forth God's purpose, like I said, at the end, and we know what's coming. It assures us that in spite of men's wars upon each other, and in spite of destructive forces of nature and disease, which seem to hold us in their grip, right? God is still on the throne, and he's still in command of everything. Satan himself is held back by God's power, and given an opportunity to exercise his evil influence only as God sees fit, and only as long as God sees fit to let him do it. And I'll add to that, don't give him permission in your life, because you carry the authority and power of God with you. God has a definite plan. So I want you to repeat after me as I close this up, okay? Just repeat after me. Say this: I know where I've come from. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going. And I have peace in my heart. His peace floods my heart and overwhelms my soul. Amen. Now listen to this. The storm was raging. The sea was beating against the rocks in huge, dashing waves. The lightning was flashing, the thunder was roaring, the wind was blowing, but the little bird was asleep in the crevice of the rock, its head serenely under its wing, sound asleep. That's peace, to be able to rest serenely in the storm. In Christ, folks, we are relaxed and at peace in the midst of confusions, bewilderments, perplexities of this life. The storm rages, but our hearts are at rest. We have found peace. Amen. Amen.